Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, everybody, back to Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. I am your host, Mike Knox. And I'm doing this call, this show today, from the car on my way to baseball practice. Can't you smell the spring in the air, people? Baseball is here. So today at this studio back in Virginia, we got our own M.E. Richmond on the Twitter. What's going on, Micah?
I'm just sitting here, like, listening and hearing your voice jump joy with glee. Like, outside of the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, I usually don't remember you getting this excited. And I forgot. You were one heck of a baseball player. I forgot yeah. You were a heck of a baseball player in your heyday. By the way, your heyday ain't all the way gone. It just said, hey, 5 days ago. But that's okay. I'm actually pretty. I forgot that's why you can get excited about baseball. Now, you know, me, it's football or nothing. I mean, even I'm sitting here drooling over the AAF, just like, football. I really do need to give this baseball thing a chance. I do, Mike. I struggle, brother.
No, don't get me wrong now. Baseball ain't as much fun on TV as it used to be when I was a kid. That's for damn sure. But, people, make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1340 AM Fox Sports. Also, follow yours too. Please, like the car that I drive, I am hardcore. That's with three X's. You don't believe me. Ask that whore that you dated. Make sure you follow him as well as M.E. Richmond on the Twitter and our social media to the icons, Ayatollahs and Rock and Rollers. At King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter. And while we're at it, can we get a woo, a happy woo? And today, Ric Flair's birthday turned 70, and today we wear our hearts on our sleeve talking wrestling, talking Oscars, talking Bryce Harper not signing, talking the best there is in wrestling and sports right now for the next 60 minutes. Impromptu. Or shorted, if you will, sports version of the Soul in Sports. Micah, how's your weekend, brother?
Well, I mean, it could have been better. No, I'm just kidding. My weekend was perfectly fine, man. My week was good. I got a chance to rest up from all the hard work I did this week. Trust me, last week was very interesting from a music perspective. And people be like, oh, so you're a music teacher. Trust me, you idiots. I work more with my hands than you think, okay? You learn how to go play, you know. I remember some idiot Boston fan was trying to troll me saying, well, you can't throw a football like Tom Brady. And I was like, I can throw a football like Tom Brady. Anybody, anytime Dick and Harry can throw a football. But not anytime Dick and Harry can play 15 goddamn instruments to actual, you know, performance quality. So, nice try, though. You know, stupid Boston buzzard. But that's other than that, I get on a rant and get on a tirade when people try to insult teachers because, you know, we actually work. I apologize. But, yeah, Ric Flair's birthday, man. Can you believe it that not this long ago, it was like, what, 3-4 months ago, we were sending hopes and thoughts and prayers out to the Flair family.
More like seven, eight months ago. But yeah.
Yeah, 7-8 months ago. It was last year.
The big thing, you know, he kicked at it too.
Yeah.
And along too, he kicked out of, you know, we were on the verge of losing him. But also today, Roman Reigns makes his return with an announcement or his first Raw appearance. All kind of speculation has been around the web. We have also, which I don't like to do very often, you know, I say take it with a grain of salt. I do hear rumblings that he will be back to wrestle for WrestleMania. You have the dirt sheet saying that Vince is demanding him to come back, which is nonsense and idiotic. We know, as much as we believe McMahon may be one of a very crude business person, someone with a stature and a sickness like cancer, when they do the Susan B. Coleman breast cancer awareness every year, I don't think if he's not healthy or clear from remission from leukemia as a second bout of leukemia, Vince will be demanding for him to come back. It'd be unhealthy at everybody's situation. I think Vince could probably get sued for that. So that's when I see hashtag death to dirt sheet say nonsense like that. I just have to sweep it underneath the rug where it is. But let's start off where you start off with, and that's simply the road to WrestleMania continues to heat up. We see the return of Roman Reigns tonight. I gave you my thoughts and what I heard about what Roman has planned to do and maybe say he will be back. Do you see this is the cause of action? Do you think this is a desperate move by the WWE? Or in the words of Dice Man, Dice Streets on Twitter. He said from the beginning, when it happened, 7 months back, Roman Reigns would be back for WrestleMania. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where we have to look at the severity of the particular cancer. He's been battling this one pretty much off and on for 11 years. And if we notice that he said he's been battling off and on, which leads me to believe that there's been instances in which during his WWE runs, this cancer has sprouted up. And because, you know, there were times where Roman Reigns was quote-unquote injured. He was kayfabe injured. And he'll be off maybe like a couple of weeks. He'll be off in like 3-4 weeks. Honestly, with the knowledge of leukemia now, it could have just been small times where he just had to get some quick chemotherapy or something like that, kind of just to get it out the way, get the energy back up. It doesn't seem like it's a it's leukemia, but it's not the serious form of it. It's not in the serious stages where they keep catching it to where it doesn't cause him any holdup as far as his physical abilities go. Because, I mean, we just saw I saw some news. You know, I know you say death to dirt sheets. Sometimes I gotta watch the information. Sure enough, especially when the Instagram photo, Roman Reigns was big old dag on arms, paused. He's sitting in the gym. Dude sitting in the gym in Waikiki, and he's having a good time. He's smiling. He doesn't, you know, he looks healthy. He looks like he's, yeah. So I think that the WrestleMania thing, it may end up panning out. But as always, especially the way he started his Shield run, they may protect him and let a lot of the other guys in the match. Because they may put him in a tag match. Maybe some people talk about a six-man tag with Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin, and Drew McIntyre.
That's how the story's been going. But that's not.
The story has nothing to do with Drew. Like Drew literally. Drew and Bobby, as far as story continuity has been concerned, have been like being kind of weaved in and out, and there's no real reason for them to actually associate with Baron Corbin anymore. Like, there's no reason. And then they did a whole thing to eliminate the chamber.
With the triple power bomb at Raw last
week,
was supposed to be the indication. Right, what's the call sign? And
it was a call sign, but there was no reason for them to be out there.
The hoo-ah after it. I'm sorry.
Exactly, but there was no reason for them. There was no reason for them to be out there. Drew freaking McIntyre just got done squashing Kurt Angle, the Olympic gold medalist, and made him tap out to his own move. For the fact of the life of me, that he's not fighting Brock Lesnar for that WWE Universal Championship, I'm trying to figure out this. Now, granted, I know this is backlogging, but if we're booking things and doing things in a new way, Drew McIntyre not being in the running for that championship right now after what he did to Kurt Angle, baffles me. I don't even know why. Is he not a draw?
But it's not that he's not a draw. It's not that I don't think he's not a draw either. I just think that you had to follow the script. I think Seth is a bigger draw. Seth won the Royal Rumble. That's just the way it is. He didn't win the Royal Rumble. Now, everybody's
– Well, yeah. No. It's not the Royal Rumble that concerns me. The Royal Rumble makes sense. What I'm saying is that Drew did this long before the Royal Rumble even happened. See what I'm saying?
Right.
It happened long before the Royal Rumble. So there was nothing to him beating Kurt Angle. Therefore, Kurt Angle laid on his back and laid down in the most awesome way possible for a guy for nothing. That was
it
just
wasn't
that.
The finger poke of doom. It wasn't the finger poke of doom, so he was okay.
That's true. It wasn't the finger poke of doom. It was more of a legit way to put somebody over, the finger poke of doom. But no, man, I'm fine with Seth Rollins doing with his thing, getting F5 18 times and still recovering from that. I think he's still getting F5 now. I think he took a break. Cole went in there, got F5 out of his shoe, and then Seth Rollins went back. But I don't mind Roman Reigns coming back tonight. There's an issue though. I did have this one issue, and I liked the tweet. I retweeted the tweet. Then I thought about it for a second. We know we talk with him all the time from Chairshot, and you know who I'm talking about. He said that if you are not liking that Roman Reigns, that they announced that Roman Reigns coming back ahead, after he suffered from leukemia, but you like when Daniel Bryan was announced, you're a hypocrite. And at first I agree with it because I took it
well,
at one
two
premise,
different things.
But then, there's two different things because Daniel Bryan literally could not wrestle anymore. At least we thought that he literally was banned from wrestling. That's why his announcement of coming back was actually more exciting. It was more natural to the person who thought that, wow, I thought he would never wrestle again because the doctors and science said he will kill himself if he does. And that's why we were more elated. This is F cancer. And all of us, to a certain degree, can relate to cancer people, can relate to having somebody in our family with cancer or know somebody who has someone in their family with cancer or may have had cancer themselves. So when we heard this one, it was like, well, cancer in 7 months, either it was really minor or whatever, but it seemed like they're kind of exploiting the guy. That's why it's different.
Well, I kind of take what you said about well, you know, you think he's been battling with it for quite some time. You know what I mean? So it was just one of those times where he needed the time off to go take in some heavy, you know, and we're speculating here, people, 347-637-385. And I'm waiting for Wally Wild to call in as well. Jay Chris should be here around the corner very soon as well. But you just take everything with a grain of salt. And I think the faster wrestling fans get out of their ownership, wrestling fans think they own everything. They think they have the right to say this is how it should be and this is how I want it to be. I don't really have a problem. I don't have a problem, period, with Roman Reigns coming back. I don't have a problem, period, with it being a six-man tag team match because him not being – people have to understand. Like I heard somebody say, oh, I read in some dirt sheets that the NXT guys are coming up because Vince is paranoid. And they're bringing back Roman because Vince is paranoid that WrestleMania is not going to sell out. People, please tweet this. WrestleMania sells it. Doesn't matter who is on the card. When you hear WrestleMania, there's a group, a demographic of wrestling fans far, near, and wide will pay money. Don't give a damn. Don't know who is on the main event. It sells itself. Then I got the stupid idiots, and I do mean that in the words of Jericho, stupid idiots that say, oh, it's not sold out. Well, I'm sorry. It's 75,800 seats. They sold 75,741 seats. And in their numbers, they're probably sold out, and the people didn't show up or they bought the tickets anyway, and WWE got their money. Because you see a seat, don't mean nobody didn't pay for that seat. So, first of all, can't wait for WrestleMania. Can't wait for Roman to appear at WrestleMania. So, as far as I'm concerned, let the good times roll and get into what's going to happen tonight with the 70th anniversary of Ric Flair. Did I not say this is when we first should have saw Becky make her comeback?
You said it.
Do you think this is where we see Becky Lynch returns tonight?
Oh, I mean, come on. Like, she calls herself the man. The man is having a birthday celebration tonight. The man has is a daughter, which sometimes aesthetically looks like a man, but she's okay. And when she
you're going to leave a billion-dollar princess alone.
No, I don't need that at all. But when she got inserted into that match, and yes, all of us who are intelligent wrestling fans know that that was the original thing to begin with. But also, us intelligent wrestling fans that are not just prisoners of the moment also understand that sometimes you got to strike when the iron is hot. They decided to do this with a black guy who's been on the roster for, like, I don't know, forever. And they actually decided to strike when the iron is hot because it made sense. Also, they probably just didn't have anything left for Daniel Bryan anyway because, well, I mean, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania is great, but we've seen it.
Daniel Bryan versus John Cena.
That'll turn Daniel Bryan face.
But if you look at his storyline, if you look at how he's been going, right, and his character lately, and we talked about this months ago.
Because
he's the fickle guy. He's the guy. He's the establishment that Daniel Bryan is. Daniel Bryan's pretty much playing the role of a brother, saying that the company, the people are the man. That's pretty much what Daniel Bryan's doing. For those who don't know,
he's doing the counterpoint version of what Bray Wyatt. Because I thought Bray, because a lot of times, if we see Bray Wyatt, the way he was talking at first, the way Bray Wyatt was presenting himself was not just as an entity of darkness, but also an agent of chaos, a Heath Ledger Joker, if you will. He's coming to burn everything down, including the establishment. Everything that's established, he's coming to burn it down. Of course, he's turned to something else, and they ruined that. But Daniel Bryan's now the establishment guy. The funny thing is, Daniel Bryan's character is actually the literal political establishment right now. Like, If you think about political establishment, don't look at the president. Look at everything the president was going against. That is the actual literal depiction, like Daniel Bryan's playing perfectly, of the current establishment. Global warming, climate change, kill babies, like all of that is their platform.
Fickle! Screw that.
I don't anybody being no fickle. That's true. He's doing it greatly, and I enjoy every moment of it. I ain't fickle. Where Daniel Bryan's a good guy, Daniel Bryan's a yes, annoying heel, or he's this Captain Planet heel. He's been doing a great job. But if John Cena comes, Daniel Bryan will be able to spin it and be like, see, this is what we're talking about here. And like, see how you like John Cena? It'll be like all kinds of bad guy stuff, and it'll be great. But it'll like people will be sympathetic to Daniel Bryan's character when it comes to Cena, because we've always been sympathetic to Daniel Bryan when it came to Cena. Because Cena, as always, is a stereotypical, prototypical look of the model of your number one guy. And I can't fault WWE for having a model of number one guy that looks like that. That's just what it is, and that's the truth. So,
of course it's out there, and this is where sometimes I say you got to take the gristle with the grease, and that's knowing in the dirt sheets what's real and what's not, what's being shown to you in front of your eyes, so you can formulate an intelligent wrestling opinion, hence the show for the intelligent wrestling fans. I think you're going to get Kevin Owens there in that place at WrestleMania for Daniel Bryan. I don't think we get Kofi. I think there is something to be said about the New Day splitting up. We heard this months and months and months ago, potentially a splitting up of the three guys, and I think this is the perfect.
Not saying that it's the web mic. Your microphone went out. Your microphone's still out. So while you're doing that and figuring that out, Mike, I'm going to steal Mike's thunder on this one because he's fixing his microphone right now. And I'm going to introduce the king. Excuse me. He's the prince of the D.C. area. He's working on being the king. I want him to be the king. He don't need no daggone ID because they can't pull him over because he's royalty. Wally, wow. What is up, sir?
What's going on, Mike? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. I still have the image of this tall Nigerian. Now I can say cousin because my mom did a DNA ancestry. So I'm just gonna say we're cousins. And I'm very excited to be able to now I have a cousin to look up to. And I don't have to do this fake Kamala Harris stuff and say Wakanda forever. I don't have to worry about Wakanda because we got Wally Wilder right here on the docket. So I'm excited to have you, my friend. How you been?
I'm good, man. Good, good. I see y'all talking about wrestling. What y'all talking about? What wrestling? What,
man, we were talking about Mike was going in. Mike was going in about how Kevin Owens probably should be added, New Day probably being broken up and stuff because he don't necessarily see the run with Kofi lasting, maybe not until WrestleMania. But now I wanted Mike to complete his thoughts as to, like, if the New Day breaks up, what do they do? Because I've been so conditioned to think of them as a unit. Mike, and you're on, Mike. So, I mean, if the New Day breaks up.
I got cut off.
What
do
they do?
That's just it. It's going to be what you see. It's going to be Kofi versus one of those guys. It's going to happen that way. It needs to happen. It's going to happen. And that's what it is. I just think that we're all fooling ourselves if anything else is going to happen from that.
So who would be the heel?
It had to be Xavier
Big
Woods.
E. It'd be Big E or
Big
Xavier
e, Big
Woods.
Be the
somebody.
One.
It'd be somebody, not Kofi, because the people are going to ride with Kofi because, you know, he's been here, he had the chance, and his own team took it away from him.
Yeah, and I mean, if I give it to anyone, I think the person who would be the best heel turn would be Xavier Woods because he's the one that he seems to promote the most goofiness and the most like, I think the New Day, honestly, this is my opinion. Kofi and Big E were additions to all three of them worked together on the vision, but honestly, I think New Day was the way it kind of changed and transformed was the up, up, down, down thought process, and that came from one Xavier Woods. Dr. Austin Creed. Dr. Austin Creed. That's a crazy great ass name to have. Dr. Creed. I feel like that should be the ending of Creed 3. Just Michael B. Jordan becomes a doctor. But anyway, it has to be him because he can carry on a feud, and you know he don't pull no punches, especially on the microphone. Like him and New Day, especially against the Usos, they have a little bit more creative freedom to talk on the microphone.
Now, if what I heard is true, and I want to ask why this one. Now, how much of this, first of all, Micah, is Kofi Kingston truly Nigerian? Now, and I brought it up because
I thought he's gone. He's from Nigeria. I thought he was Ghana.
Yeah,
he's
I thought
Nigerian.
He was Ghana. I thought his family
okay.
His family was from Ghana. He was
okay.
Raised in Boston.
From Ghana. Okay, I apologize. Uh-huh. I apologize. And really, what came to my mind, I know today, and before we went into wrestling, because I know it was just you and me from the top of the show without Wally being here and Jay Chris being here to start the show off, it's a big Nigerian push in the UFC. That they got their first Nigerian champion happened last week. We got another Nigerian guy going against John Jones this against Tyron Woodley for in the program this Saturday night, and then we got Francis Ngannou, which will be slated for a heavyweight title fight. So I thought for a second that Kofi was still, you know, was Nigerian. I was like, wait, I got my own Nigerian prince on the show. Let me ask that brother, you know, because the lady on the show today had said on Luke Thomas show on Sirius XM Fight Nation, he was like, yeah. We come to this country to become doctors and engineers because we want to be smart, but we probably can play sports, or we really going to take over.
Yeah.
I just thought that
he's
was
right,
hilarious.
Though. He's right. They come to the country to be doctors. He's totally right. He's totally right about that, too.
Because
totally
doctors
right about
and
that.
Engineers
not,
because no matter
yeah,
what, they can get a job anywhere in the world. Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was amazing when I heard that on top of the fact. He's like, yeah, we're smart. And we can kick your ass. I thought it was the greatest thing I had heard all weekend. But are you into what's going on lately in the WWE, Wally? Are you buying into the hype that you're? I know you see the station and us push it, but are you pushing the fact that WWE might have a black champion one day?
I think you can see that the fans want it. If they go on this agenda, I mean, this whole theme with, you know, Triple H said not too long ago where, you know, he's going to give Vince, they're going to give the fans what they want, then, yeah, this should happen. There's a lot of momentum for Kofi. I saw it when I saw SmackDown last week.
That's
there's a lot of momentum. So why not? Now, it's the longevity of a run. I think that's what you're referring to, right? In terms of a run, I don't know how long that would last. You have Daniel Bryan. You have the higher-ups believe in Kofi that much. I would love for them too. You know what I mean? It's been time. You know what I mean? You got guys
long
like
enough.
Bobby Lashley on. You got guys like Bobby Lashley on your roster. He's a baller. You know what I mean? There's guys that you can push Kofi is a guy who's, you know, made his, you know, paid his dues out here in the WWE. So why not? You know what I'm saying? He's got all the he has all the check marks you want in a performer. He's good in the ring. In terms of his mic skills, that has improved over the years, especially being part of New Day. So when you look at Kofi, why not? I mean, there have been far worse champions than
because
the WWE as heavyweight champions.
Well, let me ask you this question, Wally. And I like Michael call this. Now, you know, I've had to hashtag give black wrestlers a chance. Do you think with the criteria, and let me just paint the picture for you, right? And I said this out loud. I belong in both of the minorities because I do count The Rock as a black champion because The Rock himself counts himself as a black man half Samoan.
However, the
wrestling community don't count it because his storyline arc doesn't show you that. His storyline arc shows you all the Samoan heritage and never nothing about his father, Rocky Johnson, who was one of the first free slaves from Canada, who's also another deep black story in this country. So do you think that if Kofi does get the opportunity, Kofi wins, that you would consider Kofi the first ever WWE black champion? Or do you think that's just do you understand that fight that some blacks are on?
I mean, I get it. I'm like you. I recognize The Rock as a heavyweight champion. I mean, he's black to me. I mean, he was in the Nation, right? The Nation of Domination.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That was a black group.
But so was Owen Hart, though. But so was Owen Hart.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? How it started, though.
Right,
I mean, how it started. It was a black group, you know what I mean? Black militants, you know what I mean? So that was the theme of it. He was in that group. Yeah, you're right, Owen Hart, the Black Heart, right? Yeah, they kind of, you know, changed it up a little bit. But I looked at The Rock as a black dude anyway. But, yeah, I think when you look at Kofi, it's going to sound jacked up, but a thoroughbred, I guess if you want to use that terminology, he would be it. In terms of skin complexion, everything, right? He would be it. But I wouldn't call him the first. I look at him as being part of a system, you know what I mean? A guy who's another guy taking the ball and running with it, you know, in terms of black culture and professional wrestling. That's how I look at Kofi. Because, you know, Ron Simmons back in WCW, Ron Simmons.
Right.
And obviously The Rock, you know what I mean?
Do you know outside of The Rock, there's never been another company champion? Now the company has had, you know, when they bought WCW, they've had world champions that have been black. You've had Mark Henry, you've had Booker T, you've had not Bobby Lashley, but I think they're the only two that can come to my mind right now is those two. So you have
Ahmad Johnson wasn't one either. Ahmad
Johnson
never
made nothing more than
Bobby Lashley was ECW champion when they bought it out.
Right. So
that's true.
Do you see at that point when it happens that there's never been another WWE heavyweight champion? It's just
WWE.
It's just been The Rock. And so I said, when I made the video, people said, I had people, you know, certain people inbox me, well, Mike, I've always heard you say The Rock, you know. I said, if you heard the beginning first of my video, I said, I have a foot in both parties. I understand what they're saying when they say there hasn't been one because of this reason. But you know what? Because The Rock, it'd be one thing if The Rock was like, let's just be honest, and just cross reference of stereotypes, or not stereotype of like, you know, Steph Curry will openly say, "Yo, I'm white and black." You know what I'm saying? Like he's not afraid to embrace both cultures. The Rock embraces both cultures. It'd be one thing if he was like, I think early on in Tiger's years, Tiger early on didn't confess of being black. And that's why a lot of black folks didn't really like Tiger. The Rock's never done that. So, and I'm turning that attention now to Micah and ask him, because I know you saw the video, Micah, and I know you see it out there. We're talking about Kofi now. Do you think that Kofi will be, if he wins, which we don't both think is not going to happen, but if it does happen, they do pull the trigger, they do give him the ball and run with his King Ball, Junior 720 just said, would you count him as the first WWE black champion, or do you count The Rock? Do you count Mark Henry in that?
Well, here's the thing, and you kind of said it. I'm in the camp where I understand why people say The Rock is the first black champion, but I'm looking at the way the company portrays The Rock and the way that The Rock allows some stuff to be portrayed by the company. And the company wanted him to be the company guy because he was part of the Samoan heritage, the Samoan family. His dad was Rocky Johnson. That's kind of how they actually talk about it. That's how he allows them to talk about it as far as dealing with WWE. Of course, Rock personally wanted to talk about his dad. We'll talk about his mom. Rock will personally do that. Rock hasn't denied that he has a black father. But, you know, when you see The Rock in the movie, what is it that you can define him by? That's an iconic tattoo that he has on his shoulder. That tattoo ain't got nothing to do with black culture. That's him embracing his Samoan culture. Once again, not denying that he said that he's black. But for me, I will put more value, not because The Rock is mixed. This is not a mixed versus pure blood thing. That's dumb. We all mixed. What I'm saying is, for visual purposes and understanding what the company is about, a person who was born, who was from Ghana and raised in America, to me, will be more of a black champion than The Rock would be. A Biggie Langston would be more of a black champion than The Rock would be. Mark Henry and Booker T were more of a black champion than The Rock would be. Not because The Rock is not black,
it's
but
the
because
character.
The story,
it's the
like I said, it's the story,
right.
It's the character. You know, I can't relate to The Rock as a black guy because he never started out as a black guy. He, quote unquote, found his blackness and found his calling when he joined the Nation of Domination with a black guy, with black men. And then he became that guy, that iconic figure from there. Let's see. Nephew Corey is on, Mike.
Hold on. I'm about to say, one of my favorite people in the world when it comes to wrestling, and we may not always agree with the same opinions, but I will always respect these people from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. Nephew Corey is on. I know Nephew Corey probably has a – I know for a fact from speaking to him in previous times, he does not feel the same way that I or most people who have latched onto this has felt. So I'm dying to hear his comments. Nephew Corey, welcome, my brother. Welcome. You got him on?
Oh, that's the wrong Corey. I'm not your nephew. I'm your Chi-Town homeboy, Corey.
Oh, my Chi-Town Corey.
Oh,
okay,
the
Chi-Town well,
homeboy Corey.
And
I got it confused. I apologize.
I'm walking around.
I was told it was Nephew Corey. That threw me all the way. Because I thought he said Corey.
He said Corey. I didn't know there was another Corey.
You know, wrestling
that's on
market,
me. I didn't know there was another Corey.
Calls in. It's cool. No problem. Side count, Corey. I'm a man. I'm 40. Hold on. I'm 44 now. That means you're 47. Damn.
I'm 48.
What's
bro.
Going on, brother? What's going for that
nothing,
long?
Man. Just enjoying the show, man. Yeah, it's been that long, bro. Just enjoying the show, you know, just supporting black business, you know, that
right.
whole deal.
I love it. Do you think that the company has the right to call somebody else a black champion, or do you think it solely belongs that they haven't had a WWE black champion? What's your take on it?
My personal, I've always looked at Rock as a black champion. I personally believe that if Rocky is okay with them promoting him one way or the other, then it's not really my place to jump in and tell them how they should or shouldn't do it. I don't think they should make the decision on their own. If Rocky's on board, then roll with it how you roll with it. But if they're making the decision, that's a problem, in my opinion. That's a problem if they're the ones making the decision.
When you mean making it, but you know the whole thing is story-driven. Wrestling is hashtag storyline. So when you build a character, I want to find the clip from the movie and to share it because I thought it was so prevalent with the world, let alone this situation. But I want to bring it up, and everybody's seen the movie A Time to Kill. If you haven't, shame on you. Smack yourself in the back of the head. But I'm watching this movie at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got mad at my wife because she passed back out. And you know how once you wake up in the night, you get caught watching a good movie, you get stuck, you just awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself, I'm a man, I'm hardcore, bawling for like the whole closing argument. Okay? Open your eyes. So, but in this movie, in the jail scene, Samuel Jackson told his lawyer, Matthew McConaughey, "You don't mean to be one of them, but you are one of them." He said, "You can't help it. It's just in your nature. When you see me, you don't see a man first." And that's the problem with today. He said, "You see a black man first. You see an African-American man first. You don't see a man." And that's 100% true. When I watch wrestling, the first thing comes, and I'm black, I say, "Hey, look at that black guy right there." You know what I'm saying?
Well, can I ask you a question?
Extra love. Go ahead.
I understand, you know, you made a solid point. Wrestling is story driven. So whatever you start off with, unless you're going to change the character, you kind of have to roll with the story. This question I'm about to ask may mean everything, and it may mean nothing. because you guys are deeper into the roots of wrestling than I am. But what's the connection between, like you were at, like I made the comment, it depends, you know, if Rock's cool with it, blah, blah, blah. But when you look at his movies, in his movies, he doesn't really play a black dude. He plays a dude.
Right.
I can't think of a movie where he had a quote unquote black wife. And I'm not saying he hasn't had one. I'm saying I can't think of one.
No, he actually has not. And my wife and I always talk about when will The Rock have a black lead. Matter of fact, the only time he came close to having a black leading lady that was a romantic interest was in the movie Rampage.
And with that thought, it didn't do anything. And with that thought, I have to ask, is it possible that this is the way that maybe Rock doesn't see himself as a quote unquote black man? Because
not
in that one movie has he had a black woman play his wife or his girlfriend.
I agree, and I know that actors, especially actors of his ilk, has the option to, you know, pick and choose leading ladies. So I feel you on that one. The only time he ever had a leading lady was in the movie he starred in when he was the surprise man at the end of Why Did I Get Married Part 2, and he showed up for Janet at the end. And that's how far back it goes, you know, where you
which was messed up because she killed her husband.
Right. So, but my thing is that isn't that part of what we've dealt with in sports and in entertainment all along, as far as, you know, being accepted and being acceptable? Because I just want the world to be like, because if the world gets a champion, would the world say, hey, there go Kofi Kingston, the WWE champion? Or would the world say, well, we know, I believe we're going to say is that he's the first WWE black champion that some black wrestlers referred to him as? Because even when they say The Rock, they don't say the first black champion with The Rock.
They don't.
They don't. They don't. They just say, you know, The Rock. And again, they don't, for those who are listening and wondering where this conversation is coming from, it's the Kofi Kingston thing. Will he or will he not? And is The Rock or is he not? I will never scare The Rock's blackness because The Rock always acts black. He always says he's black. He does always become his black father. So for that purposes alone, I will say that he's an African-American, half Samoan man. But again, the storylines that you are showing, I love what Micah said. The storylines only show me as him being Samoan. It's automatic.
May I ask one more question, and then I'm going to bounce.
Absolutely.
Well, one more question, and then I'm just going to listen. Because, again, I respect you guys. I like wrestling. You guys love wrestling, so I respect your opinions. And I'm going to ask this question, and then I'm gonna bounce and just listen. If when you talk about the first black champion, and no disrespect to Kofi, I love Kofi. I love the roles he's played. I love where he's come. Is that the guy that you want to be the first black champion?
I'll take this, and then I'll let Micah and them answer as well. I don't have a problem with Kofi because Kofi is when you look at today's culture, kids have to be able to relate to somebody. People wondered why they love Kevin Owens, why they love Daniel Bryan. You can relate to those guys. They look like you or me. Kofi Kingston looks like most of these kids today. He's in tune with what goes on in society and pop culture. Mm-hmm. And so the New Day sells a lot of merch, and they're always hip to what's going on. So we know that. We know they're young and vibrant as far as the entertainment world. We know he's a family man. We know he's articulately spoken, and he's damn good in the ring. And he's been there for a while. So I don't think nobody has a problem with him necessarily. The problem is that if they push the button, will he be able to sell merchandise at that? People always have to remember, okay, once that person gets it, what happens next? Micah, your take. What do you think?
Right. Thanks, fellas.
Well, you know, a very good question. And, you know, it just goes back and echoes what Mike was saying. You know, a lot of people these days, I'm not a big person and a big proponent in identity politics. I don't need to see a black person in every part of the culture for me to think and to have the confidence that I can do it. In fact, I can probably just do it myself and I can just be the first and fantastic. Just the thought process I've been raised with over time. I don't have to wait for somebody else to be seen in that position for me to be inspired to do it. As a wrestling fan, I never got the chance to see a person who looks like me really hold the belt of the biggest company that I love. And when I mean the belt, I mean the company belt, not the World Heavyweight Championship. Mark Henry's run was fantastic. I think Booker T's run as King Booker was hilarious, and it was fantastic. Every run that The Rock had with that championship has been fantastic. But something in my heart of hearts told me, some black guys. Because, once again, I never saw The Rock as a black guy. The company never pushed him to me as a black guy. I never felt that outside the Nation of Domination, he was a Samoan guy trying to be black until I realized his dad was black after a while. It took me a while. I think it was like high school or college where I finally learned that his dad was Rocky Johnson. His dad was actually black. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, so he's actually black. And so a Kofi Kingston, I'm going to be honest with you. I honestly thought the first black champion as far as relatability, strength, I thought they were going to put that strap on Bobby Lashley because Bobby Lashley, he broke off for the company. He had a very fantastic run in TNA, and he had an MMA career that was better than Brock Lesnar's MMA career. And I believe he was a heavyweight champion in Bellator as well. I'm not sure, but he was definitely 15. He had 15 wins and 2 losses. So he had more fights, was more accomplished in wrestling, in another company, and was leading a company that was not well run from a business, from a money standpoint, but they knew who the hot hand was, and Bobby Lashley was the hot hand. And so when he came back to WWE, I thought, finally, we're going to have a legit guy. He's going to fight Brock Lesnar. It's going to make sense because they both do MMA. They both have an actual collegiate-level wrestling background. They can go in the ring from a physical standpoint, from a shoot standpoint. They can really deliver, and they didn't pull the trigger. And so I feel that with the momentum that Kofi has, Kofi is more the kid-friendly relatability guy and not just the dominant, angry-looking black man that we know has something that has permeated the media and our culture and our society. I can go on forever about this, but that's pretty much my thought process when it comes to it. I believe if Kofi does get that WWE championship, that is it will be the first black WWE champion from the standpoint of cultural relevance and cultural relatability. And that's just really how I feel about it. I hope that answers your question. And that's about as honest I can be about that. Wally, you got a kind of a feed in there, or you kind of like just acquiesce to the guys who just follow wrestling all the time?
No, I mean, I look at Kofi. It's crazy. I'm like you. I think in terms of modern, like where we are today, I thought Bobby Lashley would be the guy to get the strap. I thought he would be fighting Brock Lesnar. To be honest with you, I thought that would've been interesting to see. So I thought like you, Mike. I was like, all right, Bobby Lashley is in line to be in that to get that slot. But again, I have no issue with a man who paid their dues. You know what I mean? Like Kofi paid his dues, and he deserved it. He's been in the company for a while. He had to go through so many other gimmicks. He had to be looked at as the clown guy, you know, the Jamaican clap, you know, Rastafarian type dude. And now he found his own. It's cool when you see a guy that finds his own and finds his talent and finds his stride. And Kofi has found his stride with New Day, and that propelled him to where he is today. So, you know, my whole thing is it's not about getting the strap. It's about what you're going to do with the strap, right? It's about making a run, having a run with the strap. So we'll see. You know what I mean? I don't have total confidence in WWE to let him run with the strap because when you look at Kofi, do you look at Kofi like a guy like, say, AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan that's going to keep the strap for a while? You know what I mean? Like,
he can do it if the New Day stays together. That'll be the only way. If the New Day stays together, they can keep the strap
I agree. But it's not and it's like because anybody can get. Now I agree with you too, Mike. If he sticks to the New Day, they could be his protection, right? But if it's like because anybody got the strap, Mankind had the strap for like a hot second and lost it. You know what I mean? So it can happen. So my whole thing about it is like, I want to see Kofi get a run, not just get the strap, but get a run.
I can feel that. All right, Corey, did that help you out there?
And Corey stepped off. He stepped off. After Micah dropped that, after y'all two dropped that knowledge, he said thank you, and then he just stepped off. Y'all dropped knowledge, and he was out.
Well, yeah, that's what we're here for, man. We're able to do that. But here's the thing. But here's the thing, though. While we're dropping knowledge, right, because you know me, I don't care about basketball. But Jay Chris does. He's on, and you care about basketball. And before I ask about the basketball question to kind of wrap up the discussion, I do have to ask this one thing. There's so many people that's like trying not to be mad about Robert Kraft right now. It's like, why would you accuse Robert Kraft of something so he's not even married. Like, I thought he was married at first. I thought his wife was actually dead. Like, he has a girlfriend, but he's not really, you know. Yeah, he has a girlfriend that's like 80 years younger than him. Oh, man,
yeah.
Gold diggers and these old dudes. But I kept trying to tell people, like, hey, look, I'm a Patriots hater. Like, I really don't like the Patriots. Like, I can't hate on them. I don't hate the fact that they win. because that's not the problem. I hate the fact that they're arrogant about their wins and that all their wins up to a certain point are very, very questionable. And you can say what you want. I don't count the, and as a Colts fan, I don't count the Flate game. The Flate of football didn't help them win that game. You can't sell me on that. There's no evidence that shows me that them not running the daggone, them not being able to stop like Garrett freaking Blunt for four touchdowns had something to do with a deflated football. Like, I'm sorry. That had nothing to do with it to me. But, guys, if you wanted to defend Robert Kraft, okay. But it wasn't him getting him some services that was the problem. It was that the services were linked to sex trafficking, dummies. That's the problem.
Because
he's getting him some, we know he's getting him, like what Jerry Jones said, we know he's getting him some glory hole a lot. But it was where he got it from. They had ties to sex trafficking. So that's the problem, dummies. But anyway.
So what is we got to do research. We got to do research on our prostitutes now. We got to do a background check on our prostitutes.
That's what it is. That's what they say like it is, bro. Ain't nobody protected these days. You a multi-billionaire. You cannot risk being linked to anything like that after your team got six Super Bowl rings. I guess you got your seven. Congratulations.
But anyway, I don't know, man. I'm not mad at them, and I'm not mad at them for charging them and all like that. It's just I didn't. You educated me. I didn't know that that was the reason of the big whole whole hubbub because it was linked to sex.
Yeah, I mean him.
I did hear the term Charles, but I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, that's the only reason why. Otherwise, that would have been swept under the rug. If they weren't working on the sting operations to try to find out where that trafficking was coming around, it wouldn't even be that big of a deal. I mean, it's just a guy. It's just an old rich guy getting him some loving because his wife died.
If you read the reports and stuff, it's so bad though. Like in terms of sex trafficking, it's so bad though. It's bad. Like it's really bad. But I mean,
that's our current American slave trade right now. As much as I complain about Darth Orange as much as anybody else, at the very least, he's ordering a lot of that on the federal level, a lot of that trafficking stuff to kind of like, you know, he's ordering a lot of those investigations, and that's pretty good. So even a broken clock is right twice a day. So gentlemen, help me out with this basketball stuff because like, I don't feel compelled to follow anything. Like you know, Russell Westbrook can't shoot. Thank God he has Paul George. LeBron James tried to put together another team, and he sucks at it. How we don't understand that LeBron James sucks as a GM. He needs to let actual basketball people make actual basketball decisions because he sucks at that. Tell me, Wally, why are your Lakers not going to make the playoffs this year? Let's start there because I'm tired of hearing LeBron James talk about he the greatest of all time, and you can't get – a team of ragamuffins, so to speak, because all those guys can actually ball. But you can't get that team together because you're too busy fighting the daggone coach who I think is a good coach. But you said that you explained to me a while ago that that may not be the case.
Who's a good coach?
Help me out. Help me understand.
You said who's a good coach? Luke Walton? Oh, that's not a good coach.
I thought Luke Walton's a good coach because you got to be a good coach can coach up good players, bring out the best. Your team was halfway. Like Wally, your team was in the hospital.
I'm gonna give an example.
But y'all still 135 games.
I'm giving an example of what a good coach is. I'm giving an example. That Doc Rivers.
Okay.
You see, he traded everybody away. They traded everybody. They still winning. But they still look at Indiana with Nate McMillan. They lost Oladipo. They lost their best player, and they still winning. They like the third seed in the East right now. But that's less talent. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about competing. Like when you get a squad, New Orleans didn't play Anthony Davis two nights ago. They didn't play Anthony Davis, and they beat the Lakers by like 15 with no AD. Like that is horrible.
So are you saying that Luke Walton is
horrible.
Not a Luke Walton has lost the locker room? Do you think that LeBron James has successfully turned the locker room against Luke Walton?
No. I think you got players who probably don't mess with LeBron James because obviously they were about to get traded. So I think you got that dynamic. Let's just keep it real. Like, LeBron is campaigning to get Anthony Davis, so basically all these young dudes can go. That's how, and they're not looking at LeBron like, hey, that's my dude. You know what I mean? It was all good in the off season, right? Because this guy, you know, you get LeBron James coming to the team. He's welcoming you in and all this, that, and the other. He's saying, hey, let's work out together. Now, you know what I mean? Anthony Davis is now out there, you know, Clay Sports, whatever. And now you're about to trade everybody, Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, all the young dudes. You can go for Anthony Davis. So, I mean, you know they salty on LeBron for that. That too. I mean, that's natural. I don't knock him for being salty with LeBron. Like, I wouldn't knock him for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was me and I like Kelly and I like being a Laker and I see this dude trying to get me out of here, you know, and I know the player is better than me, but still, like, you trying to get me out of there, I'm going to be pissed. I'm not going to look at you a certain way. But then it goes to the coaches. It goes to the coaching staff, and it goes to one. It does LeBron. It ain't. LeBron is at fault, too. I'm not taking away from LeBron. It's leadership like LeBron, the coaching staff, Herb and Magic Johnson. They all got to get together and get those kids ready to play ball. And to me, they haven't since those trade rumors.
Wow. So if you had a prediction right now, do the Lakers make the playoffs? They do?
Nah. I'm real. Nah. I don't like the way they're playing.
Okay. You're a real Lakers fan, so you're a real fan, so yeah. You'll be honest about it.
Nah. I'm rooting for him, but I don't see it. I don't like to doubt LeBron, but I'm going to have to do it this time because I don't like losing to New Orleans without Anthony Davis is ridiculous. Like, that's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
That's bad.
It's ridiculous. And even the Houston game where they did beat the Rockets, like, the way they were playing prior to that, like, it just wasn't good. And I can see – and, again, if you watch the game, you see the frustration. If I'm LeBron James, I'm overly frustrated because you got players who don't understand the moment or don't understand, like, hey, to play playoff basketball, to make it to the postseason, you got to play a particular way. Like, you got to play smart. You're not – I'm going to use, like, for why it Mike, you're not Joel Embiid, you're not Ben Simmons, you're not overly talented like those dudes, right? You're not those type of cats where, you know what I mean, like, your skill takes over, you know what I mean? Like, Ingram and Kuzma, as much as everybody glorifies them as young talent, they're still trying to really find their way. And they got to play smarter, mm-hmm. but they're not on the level of those two individuals. So, so when they take a dumb shot, it's magnified because they're not good enough to overcome it. You know what I'm saying? So, and they're not LeBron, so they can't they're not on LeBron level, so they can't overcome it. So they're going to have to find a way where they play smart basketball down the stretch. Because if they don't play smart ball, like, I don't see them making a postseason. That's why I think it's essential for Lonzo to get healthy, because I think Lonzo's an intelligent basketball player. He may not be, like, you know, shooting or whatever, but in terms of running the team and playing smart basketball, he fits with LeBron because he's got another intelligent basketball player on the court. That's why Rondo plays well with LeBron. And Lonzo should play well with LeBron because they're intelligent basketball players. They're about playing basketball.
Yeah, that's why a lot of LeBron's success.
Right way.
A lot of LeBron's success does come from intelligent basketball players. I noticed that.
Exactly.
Jay Chris.
Exactly.
So Jay Chris, that's the West Coast. That's the West Coast and Laker ball. So let's find out why your Philadelphia 76ers aren't going to beat Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. How come that's going to happen? I'm just kidding. I don't know. I can't tell you yes or nay on that. I'm just messing. I heard they were lighting things up, especially it was hilarious. That game against the Lakers where they like destroyed them. It was hilarious.
Listen,
but everyone's destroying the Lakers these days.
They're going to beat the mediocre mediocre. But I might have been one of the only Sixers fans that wasn't excited about the latest trade that they made. You know what I mean? I mean, I know Tobias Harris was a good player and all like that, and the team still needs to gel. But I might be one of the only ones that wasn't really excited about this trade. The fact that, you know, these guys are putting this together and got to figure it out by the end of the season is tough. I mean, they were just, you know, getting the chemistry together with Jimmy Butler, and now you put another player in the mix where you got to figure out how to play around this guy. Now, I believe since the trade, I believe all five guys have been averaging about 20 points a game, I believe. But, you know, that doesn't always equate to wins. And like maybe you guys didn't see the other night, Saturday afternoon they played the Portland Trailblazers, played a real good first half, and then the second half just got the doors blown off of them because, you know, I just believe the effort wasn't there. And namely, one guy whose effort was lacking was Jimmy Butler. I mean, on the defensive end, which is one of the biggest reasons the Sixers picked him up, was for his defense, his wing defense. and it just wasn't there. He was kind of lackadaisical, and I don't know. Maybe he's the type of player that, you know, maybe he takes games off. I don't know, but you know, something there has got to change. I don't know. It's the coaching. I know the substitution rotations are terrible, if you ask me. You know, with the personnel that we have, you got to make better substitutions, and then you got the game plan is awful too. The game plan sucks, if you ask me. I thought originally it was kind of just a thing where Joel Embiid just liked being out on the perimeter, but now with the with Boban out there too, it's like, okay, so this is actually what you guys are running. These are the sets you guys are running with these big men out there. Boban has no business on the perimeter, but they're still doing it. So it's like, you know, some things got to change, man. I know Joel, you know, can make a 3-point shot here and there, but it's just here and there. You know what I mean? He's not Anthony Davis. He's not Porzingis. He's not, you know, he's not Manute Bol. He's Joel Embiid, and some things definitely have to change. Not Manute. You know, Manute can knock him down.
I know. It's hilarious. I know. That's right.
Manute was able to knock him things down, but you know.
I know.
You know, things have to change with the game plan. We got to get some more pick and rolls for Jimmy. Probably some more pick and rolls for Tobias. And honestly, this team, nobody says it because maybe I'm the only person that believes it, but this team goes the way J.J. Redick goes. If J.J. Redick is having an off night, this team struggles. And if you don't believe me, just watch Trinidad James. J.J. Redick struggles, the team struggles as a whole. And, you know, lately in my book, J.J. has been struggling with his shot. When he's making his shot, things open up for Embiid in the paint, for maybe Ben Simmons down low. Things open up for Jimmy a little bit. So, you know, these Sixers, if they can mesh and figure it out, they will be a force to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference playoffs, starting five-wise. Don't ask me about the bench because I'm not totally convinced on that bench. They traded Landry Shamet, and I was hurt by that. And, you know, we'll just have to see. If they play – they're trying to avoid the 4 seed to play so they won't have to play Boston the 4-5 matchup. If they can avoid the 4-5 matchup with Boston in the first round and maybe catapult over Indiana to get to the third spot, I think the Sixers will be in pretty good shape. But outside of that, man, if they got to play Boston in that first spot, which I still believe that the Sixers can beat Boston, but I think it's going to be tough, and it'll be tough to go through that series and then continue to go throughout the playoffs, especially if you got to play like a Toronto or a Milwaukee in the second round. So that's my take on it.
Okay.
I wanted to tell
that's the take on it. Too, okay, but cool. I know people are like, well, isn't this a Hopewell station when you're talking about the Lakers and talking about Philadelphia 76ers? Well, let me tell y'all something, okay? When you follow sports the way I follow sports, I understand what the big stories are. The big story is the Lakers spiraling out of control and being just all kinds of just dysfunction. And, and I don't even know, is Luke Walton even going to be the coach next year? I'm not too sure. I think they're just going to keep him to the end of the season and just to be fair to him and not fire him because, I mean, really, you can't really replace him with anybody else who's out there that's going to be, like, good. It'd be real funny if they rehire Mike Brown. But anyway, or Ty Lue. That would be hilarious. But anyway, fellas, I appreciate y'all being on, man. This is a minute show, so we're not going to 7 o'clock like we usually do. This is a minute show. We're going to 6:30 here. We usually do best and worst of the weekend right here, so let me go ahead and ask Wally, best and worst of the weekend, go right ahead. I know we used to sing the song, but we ain't got time to sing the song. We'll be all right, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I never really sing the song. I rarely sing. Y'all know that. Rarely sing.
Exactly.
That. But worst of the weekend had to be the Lakers losing to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis. Yeah, like that was terrible. Best of the weekend, I got to spend time with my nieces on Sunday, so I'll take that for the best of the weekend. My nieces and my nephews.
Cool. All right, Jay Chris.
Sorry about that. I had myself muted. So my best of the weekend, my worst of the weekend would have to be the Sixers losing to the Trailblazers the way they did. You know, and my worst of the weekend, A2 or A1 or however you say it, would be this whole Bryce Harper Philadelphia Phillies drama that's going on. That's still going on to this day. It's just stupid.
Well,
I'm tired of hearing about it.
There's not going on. He just signed a dude. $335 million 10-year deal for Bryce Harper going to the Phillies.
We saw it.
Well, that changes things.
Yeah, it's in the,
My best of the weekend is something that didn't happen over the weekend. It is Duke losing to North Carolina. That was my best of the weekend, even though it happened on like Wednesday.
That was a good weekend. All right, guys, we're gonna get up out of here, man. We appreciate it. Best of the weekend for me being home and sleeping. I appreciate y'all. Worst of the weekend, not having football, even though the AAF was on. All right. So I'll talk to y'all later, man. And you know what Mike Knox said. I'm not going to steal his thunder on that. Y'all have a good night. Y'all have a good one. And we'll see you Friday.
It's time. You're talented.